Blog Talk Radio.
Difficulty, which is why I could not end the song as early as I was trying. But God is good, and His mercy endures forever and all time, giving honor to God this morning, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I just thank God today for each and every one of you. I thank God today that he's given us an opportunity to come back together, to do over, and to go where he needs us to go and to do what he needs us to do. Father God, again, I come to you lifting up the name of Jesus, knowing that you, Father, are in charge of everything and that we needed to move forward in your word. We needed this song this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for everything that you do. Thank you, Lord, for all things good and perfect come from you, Father. And all I can say is thank you, Father God, that you have done for me. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Lord, I look up, lifting up, giving you honor, glory, and hallelujah, praise. Father God in heaven, thank you for this word this morning. Thank you for being with us today, Lord God. Thank you for your grace and your mercy toward us, Lord. Thank you for giving us strength when we didn't have it. Thank you for giving us peace when we didn't have it. Thank you for giving us joy when we didn't have it. Thank you for just being who you are, awesome and mighty, our Daddy God. Father God, I ask that you increase as I decrease, Lord. Let this word, the words from my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, for you are my strength and you are my redeemer. You are my Father God, and I am grateful to be your child. Ask you to bless those that are listening live and bless those that listen later. Lord God, let this word touch someone's heart. Let someone remember who Jesus is, that he is the Word, and that he was there in the beginning, and he will be there in the end. But he has always been with you, and you sent him to us to save our souls. Father God, thank you so much for your Son who loved us in spite of us. Who loved us and who loved us, that he gave his life for us and he intercedes for us always. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And in his name I pray, lifting up, looking up, giving you honor, glory, and praise, O Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, y'all. That's all I can say is hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory, of the honor, and all the praises. The song says, it makes me want to shout hallelujah. And so I shout hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I just thank God today for all of you. I thank you for listening in this morning. I thank you for just being here with us as we move forward in God's word. And this morning, our word is coming out of, again, still 1 Samuel. We're talking about our friend, as y'all know, who made a mistake, who is having some issues. Let's call it that way. Saul is having some issues. And one of the issues he is having is trying his best to kill David. Why? Jealousy, envy. He's miserable, so he wants everybody else to be miserable too. He knows he messed up, but he don't want to take responsibility for his actions. Instead, he wants to blame David. You know, we know how it is. There are folks, they mess up. And instead, as they say, you mess up, you clean up. Instead of cleaning up, they want to blame everybody else for the mess. You know, when I look at my mess, I know I made a whole lot of the mess myself. So I can't blame my children for the mess that I made. I can only say we all got to clean up our mess. You know, we all have our moments where we're not perfect. We are not perfect. We are all humbled by God's grace. We are all humbled by his word. We are humbled because we are all sons and daughters of the Most High God. And God will humble you. Even when you think you got it going on, you think you are the, as the kids used to say in my day, the bomb diggity or whatever. You think you are the bag of chips, and not just any chips, you barbecue. You think you really got it going on. But understand, we are nothing without God. We are absolutely nothing without God. And we must give God the honor and the glory and the praise, sons and daughters. We were grafted in. We were adopted. And we got to remember our adoption and that we are his children. We got to act like it. Because, you know, as we always tell our children, I know in the South where I grew up, you are a reflection of your parents. And if you go out there acting as you are making it look like we didn't raise you right. So you got to act right. You know how we were? All my generation is all I can speak of. Because my generation, we were taught, you don't act up. When you go to church, you better act like you've been there before. You don't run around. You don't walk around. You don't talk. You listen. And you behave. And there was no arguing about it. You didn't, as my pastor preached just on this last Sunday, you did not tell your parents that you weren't going to church. It wasn't an option. It wasn't a question of, do you want to go to church? It was, you need to get up and be ready to go. The car is pulling off at, or if in my case, I walked to church. It was just a couple of blocks from my house. And at one point, it was only a block from my house. So I had no excuse not to be at church and not to be on time. Because I live right down the street, walking distance. And so I walked to Sunday school, and I walked to church, and I walked back home with my parents. And I say this, I am grateful every day that I had godparents in my life, my uncle and my aunt, who raised me. I'm thankful because I know God because they taught it to me. It wasn't an option. It was a, this is what we do. And missionary was not just something you talked about. It was who you were. So I just thank God for everything in my life. So thank God today. And let's get in our word. We are coming this morning from 2 Samuel. I'm sorry, 1 Samuel chapter 22 through 23. We will also be in our Old Testament of Psalms, the 59th Psalm verses. We will also have Proverbs chapter 16 and John chapter 1. I don't have my little book because I used it for something I had to do. So I don't have it with me right now, but I will come back to John and we'll talk about what we should learn in John. When I get my little book back. But right now we're going to just go to 1 Samuel chapter 22. And our word is coming this morning out of John chapter 1. And it's just simply the word with God. Hallelujah. We thank God for Jesus this morning. And we just thank him for just being who he is, a awesome and mighty Savior. Who loves us. Hallelujah. Thank God today. Be grateful. Be thankful. And know that you are blessed. Hallelujah. Whew. All I can say this morning is the enemy has been busy trying to keep me off of my blog talk computer site. But that's all right. Because we're still on the air. Praise the Lord. And this is what the word of God says in 1 Samuel chapter 22. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's household heard it, they went down there to him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became captain over them, and there were about 400 men with him. Then David went from there to Mizpah of Moab, and he said to the king of Moab, please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me. So he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him time that David was in the stronghold. Now remember this. I want y'all to not forget something. David is part Moabite. Remember, his grandmother was Ruth, a Moabite woman. His grandfather, no, actually, I think Ruth was his great-grandmother. Let me go back and make sure. Let me get my story right. Go back to the book of Ruth and get the lineage correct, because I want to make sure I am right there on David's lineage. Let's go back to the book of Ruth. Judges here. Let me get to Ruth chapter. Here we go. Now, in the genealogy of Perez, Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon. Nahshon begot Solomon. Solomon begot Boaz. So, okay, there's Boaz. Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse. So Ruth is Obed. See, Obed is granddaddy. Jesse is dad. Boaz is great-grand. So great-grandmother of David is Ruth, who was a Moabitess. There we go. Now we got our story all right. So understand. So David went to Moab because David was part Moab. He was a Moabite in his lineage. So his grandfather, great-grandfather was Jewish. His great-grandmother was a Moabite. So he could take his family to Moabite because he was part of that lineage. And so he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the time that David was in the stronghold. Now the prophet Gad said to David, do not stay in the stronghold. Depart and go to the land of Judah. So David departed and went into the forest of Herod. When Saul heard that David and the men who were with him had been discovered. Now Saul was staying in Geba under a tamarisk tree in Ramah, and his spear in his hand, and all his servants standing about him. Then Saul said to his servants who stood about him, hear now, you Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds? All of you have conspired against me, and there is no one who reveals to me that my son has made a covenant with the son of Jesse, and there is not one of you who is sorry for me or reveals to me that my son has stirred up my servants against me to lie in wait as it is this day. Then answer Doeg, and we know Doeg is just something else. I'm not going to say what I think about Doeg, but we know he's pitiful. And let's keep it going. So Doeg the Edomite, who was set over the servants of Saul, said, I saw the son of Jesse going to Nob to Amalek, the son of Etab. And he inquired of the Lord for him, gave him provisions, and gave him the sword of Goliath, the Philistine. So you know that's been in Saul over the edge. So the king sent to call Amalek, Etab, and all his father's house. The priests who were in Nob, and they all came to the king. And Saul said, hear now, son of Etam. He answered, here I am, my lord. Then Saul said to him, why have you conspired against me, you and thy son of Jesse, in that you have given him bread and a sword and inquired of God for him, that he should rise against me to lie in wait as it is this day? So Amalek answered the king and said, and who among all your servants is as faithful as David? Who is the king's son-in-law who goes at your bidding and is honorable in your house. Did I then begin to inquire of God for him? But far be it from me, let not the king impute anything to his servant or to any in the house of my father. For your servant knew nothing of all this, little or much. He's like, you're not going to put this mess on us. We didn't know anything about what was going on with you and David. Had no clue. Problems for us. We didn't have anything to do with this mess. You're not going to pull us in to your stuff. And it says, and the king said, you shall surely die, Amalek, you and all your father's house. Then the king said to the guards who stood about him, turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because their hand also is with David, and because they knew when he fled and did not tell it to me. But the servants of the king would not lift their hands to strike the priests of the Lord. And the king said to Doeg, you turn and kill the priests. So Doeg the Edomite turned and struck the priests and killed on that day 85 men who wore a linen ephod. Also, Nob, the city of the priest, he struck with the edge of the sword both men and women, children and nursing infants, oxen and donkeys and sheep with the edge of the sword. Now, one of the sons of Amalek, the son of Itab, named Abathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abathar told David that Saul had killed the Lord's priest. So David said to Abathar, I knew that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have caused the death of all the persons of your father's house. Stay with me, do not fear, for he who seeks my life seeks your life. But with me you shall be safe. Told David, saying, look, the Philistines are fighting against Caleb, and they are robbing the thrashing floors. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. But David's men said to him, look, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired the Lord once again, and the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand. And David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, struck them with a mighty blow, and took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Now it happened when Abathar, the son of Amulek, David at Keilah, he went down with an ephod in his hand. And Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So Saul said, God has delivered him into my hand, for he has shut him in by entering a town that has gates and bars. Then Saul called all the people together for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. When David knew that Saul plotted evil against him, he said to Abathar the priest, bring the ephod here. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. And David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver you. So David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah and went wherever they could go. Then it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted the expedition. And David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Zepha. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. So David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Zepha in a forest. Then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that. So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. Then the Zephonites came up to Saul and gave a saying, is David not hiding with us in strongholds in the woods in the hill of Hekali, Jeshimon? Now therefore, king, come down according to all the desire of your soul, to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. And Saul said, blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Please go and find out for sure and see the place where his hideout is, and who has seen him there. For I am told he is very crafty. See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides, and come back to me, and certainly, with certainty, and I will go with you, and it shall be, if he is in the land, that I will search for him throughout all the clans of Judah. So they arose and went to Zephah. Before Saul, that David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jessamine. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David, therefore he went down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that he received David in the wilderness of Maon, then Saul went on one side of the mountain and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. But a messenger came to Saul saying, hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Therefore Saul returned from pursuing David and went against the Philistines. So they called that place the Rock of Escape. Then David went up from there and dwelt in strongholds and in Gedi. You know, you think about this. This man is pursuing someone who has never done him any harm, who has never said a mumbling word against him, who has always been there and wanted to be there for him, but yet he knew he had done wrong. But instead of acknowledging his own wrongdoing, he goes after David. And we know in life there are people that will blame you for their mistakes. You know, you have mothers that have children that they blame their children for having them. Well, if it hadn't been for you, I would be here and I would be doing this and I would be doing that. And it's like, no, you are the one that had this child. You are the one that had sex or whatever out of wedlock. You are the one that did whatever. You are the one that married this man. You are the one that, you can't blame your children for stuff that you do, but we see it every day. Children being blamed for their parents' mistakes. You know, mothers murdering their children because of their mistake, because of what they did that they knew they were being wrong in doing. We cannot continue to let our babies be the cause of anybody doing wrong. You know, David did nothing to Saul, nothing but support him, nothing but be there for him. Thousands, David came to thousands, and that sent Saul over the edge in jealousy. Jealousy is a horrible, horrible thing, and we have to be careful that we do not allow a jealous spirit to get into our bodies, into our minds, and into our souls. And let's go back over a few life lessons from 1 Samuel chapter 22 and 23. In chapter 22, it says, please let my father and mother come here with you till I know what God will do for me. While David had the anointing of God, he did not have a detailed map of his future. So he trusted God for what he could not do and acted wisely in regard to the things he could do. God never hides the fact that there may be a high price to pay for doing what is right, but he also promises to reward us for doing what is good, Ephesians 6 and 8, even if that reward comes in heaven. Sometimes our rewards are not going to happen on this earth. They're not. They're going to happen in heaven, and we have to understand that everything is not always going to happen when we want it to, but it will happen when it is, because understand everything, God is in charge of it all. God is in charge, not us, but God. So we have to go to God in prayer for everything and not to ourselves, not to our own understanding, but it says in all our ways acknowledge who? Him. We got to acknowledge God in everything that we do. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 21, blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Anyone can use religious verbiage and try to appear deeply spiritual by the phrases he uses, but God is not impressed, and neither should we be, nor should we be fooled. understand that. We got to understand that. There's a lot of folks that know how to use the right verbiage, but they have no love of God in their hearts. They don't even know who he is, but they know how to use certain words to try to pull you in. Understand, Spirit of Antichrist knows the word of God better than most of us do. Understand, the devil was an angel first, so he knows what to say. He knows the word. His minions know the word. Remember, a third of heaven fell with him. So there's other angels out there, but our demons, and they know the word too. So you got to be careful that the subterfuge don't come, that counterfeit don't come, talking all the right things to say, but knowing they are not of God. They are not of God, but they will pull you in because they know what to say. You know, there's a whole lot of false teachers out there teaching anything and everything and not pulling in the word of God in this context, but just to take a snippet to make what they want to say look like it came from God, just like Saul did. Blessed are you of the Lord, but you have compassion on me as he has to kill them all. Kill them all. A Game of Thrones is a real deal. Holy deal from the word. And I tell you this, it is wrong. But Saul did. But when you are Edomite, you don't care about God's children. You don't care about the word of God. You got your own thing going on. He didn't care. And as we continue here, it says, hurry and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. The Lord sent the Philistines. It says, during this time in Israel's history, the Philistines were the primary oppressors and enemies of God's people. But in his sovereignty, God used them to rescue his servant David. He can do the same for us. The Lord will move heaven and earth if necessary to show us his will, not ours, but God. We got to continue to ask God to lead us, to guide us, to show us his way, not our way, but the Lord's way. And when we go there, not my way, Lord, but your way, let God work in your life. Give it over to God. Whatever it is, when you give it to God, everything else falls into place. Trust the Lord today. Trust in his word. Trust that he will be with you in ups, in your downs, in your ins, in your outs, in your always. But he is God. In our psalm today, where it's a psalm of David, and it is this, at evening they return. They growl like a dog and go all around the city. Indeed, they belch with their mouth towards the end of lips, but they say, who hears? But you, O Lord, shall laugh at them. You shall have all the nations in derision. I will wait for you, O you, his strength. But God is my defense. My God of mercy shall come to meet me. God shall let me see my desire on my enemies. Do not slay them, lest my people forget. Scatter them by your power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of your mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride and for the cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath. Consume them that they may not be. And let them know that God rules in Jacob to the end of the earth, Selah. And at evening they return. They growl like a dog and go all around the city. They wander up and down for food and howl if they are not satisfied. But I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, my God of mercy. Oh, praise the Lord. Did David know how to put some words together? He sure did. I love me some David. Yes, I do. Praise the Lord for his might and his strength. Proverbs 16, verses 1-2. The preparation of the heart belongs to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the way of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. That's a great word. I'm going to read that again. All the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. God weighs our spirit. What a word. That's an awesome word this morning. I am like, wow, look at God. That is a mighty, mighty word of God. And we got to remember that God is in charge of everything. You know, when we go to God, we go to God in prayer and in supplication, asking God, Lord, you got me. You lead me. You show me the way. And I can tell you this, in my own life, I've watched God work, and he does exactly that. He shows us the way. He shows us where we need to go. He shows us what we need to do. He tells us what we need to say and how we need to say it. Thank God today that he loves us like that. You know, as the song says, he still loves me in spite of me. And that is who we serve, a God that still loves us in spite of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your kindness toward all of us. For you are great and greatly to be praised. Thank God today for his grace. Thank God today that he loves you in spite of you. Let's get into our word this morning. And we are coming out of the book of 1 John. And all I can say is, wow. I love the book of John. You know, of course, y'all know my favorite is Joshua, but I love John because John was the one that loved Jesus best. And he was his best friend, his very, very best friend. He, as they say, the disciple that Jesus loved was John. And he gave John instructions that he gave nobody else. John is the writer of Revelation. He was given a revelation of our time, of our future, of what will happen after, either in our time or after our time. Maybe in the time of our children, grandchildren, great. We don't know because the word of God says no man knows the date or the time. And that includes the Son of God. Even Jesus doesn't know when it's going to happen. He'll be there, but he just doesn't know when it's going to happen, when he is going to be called up again to come into this wicked world. Because understand, he was one of the ones that were creation. Let's read what the word of John says. It says, in the beginning, we're talking Genesis, was the word, and we're talking Jesus, and the word was with God, and the word was God. There it is. God in the flesh. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus is our light. As the children say, Jesus is the light, and I'm going to let it shine. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. We know we're talking John the Baptist. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, but he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. No man has seen God. So who were we seeing? Who were they seeing? They were seeing Jesus. Flesh was Jesus in the lion's den with Daniel, keeping the lion's mouth closed. Closed was Jesus in the fiery furnace, walking with the three Hebrew boys was Jesus. In the burning bush saying, I am, was Jesus. The one who spoke to Abraham was Jesus. The one who smite Sodom and Gomorrah was Jesus. We got to know Jesus has always been there. Jesus was with David in the wilderness. Jesus is with us in the midnight hour. Jesus has always been there, and he will always be there because he loves us like that. We are blessed beyond measure because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Jesus is our Savior. He has been there with us through the thick, through the thin, through the ups, through the downs, through the all that. Jesus always been there. Hallelujah. Can you say it with me this morning? Jesus, thank you for always being there. Jesus, thank you for loving us when we don't know or love ourselves. Jesus, you are our up. You are our down. You are our light. Woo, hallelujah. You are the rose of Sharon. You are absolutely everything. Anything and everything that we are and hope to be, we lay it all at your feet, Savior. For you are absolute. I thank you, Lord, for your Son. I thank you, Lord, for his grace. I thank you, Lord. Woo, hallelujah, for Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. I thank you, God, for your Son. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I can't help myself. I'm getting filled up because I think of the love of Jesus. And I think that all that he did for us, he gave his life for us. Can you say thank you this morning? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your Son. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And as we go back into John verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right at the beginning of this gospel, John tells us that Jesus was far more than just a great teacher or a mighty prophet. In fact, he was God. Jesus is the express image of God person. And when we go over to Hebrews, and we're going to go over to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 real quick here. So join me in the book of Hebrews. Oh, I'm just filled this morning, just filled up. I love this word, and I can't say enough, but thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you, Lord, just for being great and gracious and allowing us an opportunity to read your word, God. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. The children sing that song. It's not about us, but it's about Jesus. And that's all I can say. It's about Jesus. Jesus this morning. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's about Jesus. Ooh, hallelujah. It's about you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy toward us. Thank you, Lord, for just being there in our hearts, in our minds, and in our spirits this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for Jesus. And I'm having some issues trying to get in my Hebrew word this morning, but that's all right. I know that my daddy God got it covered. And we're going to just go ahead and go to our word. Try to get back in. Let me find Hebrews one more time. That's why you depend on the Bible yourself and not on technology. But we're going to go back to verse 1. And it says this, God, who at various times and in various ways speaks in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. You heard that? Through him, through whom also he made the what? World. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And that is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Hallelujah. We got to know and go to the word. And as we go to John 14, because the word became flesh, chapter 1, verse 14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Whatever Jesus did, he did with grace. Whatever he said in truth. He was not gracious some of the time and less gracious other times, any more than he varied in the amount of truth he spoke. Jesus didn't play. Y'all know that Jesus cleaned out and stuff. He did not play when it came to the word, and he did not play when it came to the house of God. You know, don't go in God's house selling fried chicken dinners and selling stuff out of the sanctuary, because he said, this will be a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. God in the flesh didn't play. Jesus didn't play when it came to the word. Jesus didn't play when it came to his daddy. Jesus did not play. You know, folks want to make him all lovey-dovey. Understand, Jesus was one that said, not today. He did not go. He would go there. And when he went there, he went there. And he went there hard and heavy. And he did not play with us, and he ain't playing with us today. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. Jesus was not a man, and he did not lie. He was God in the flesh, and he did not play. He told it like it was, and like it was is what it was. Come on now. Let's get it straight. And say, don't get it twisted, folks. Don't get it twisted. Whew, I get excited because I know, honey, when it comes to the word of God, we got to keep it real, as the kids say. Keep it real. We got to keep it real when it came to Jesus, because Jesus was absolute, and he loved us like that. I'm grateful to be a child of God. Whew, this word has did something to you, girl. It has done something to me. And it goes on to tell us the important message, and this is a life example from Dr. Stanley of our life lessons are, since 400 years of silence, it has been so long since God has been one of his prophets. The people of Israel wonder if he would ever speak again, or if he had forgotten the covenant he'd established with their forefathers, Abraham and David. as happens with any present pause or prolonged time of quiet. Their eyes strained in anticipation. They were hungry for a word. So God sent the word. Ooh, I love that. But this time, the word came as it had never come before. The word came. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word that had been with God in the creation of the world and all the life in it now came to the world to offer a new covenant and a new life. Hallelujah. During the 400 years of silence, God had readied the world for the word to travel through it under the influence of Alexander the Great. Greek, the language of science, medicine, and philosophy, made communicating the word much easier than it had ever been. Also because of the roads and general peace, Pax Romana, of the Roman Empire, missionaries could travel everywhere with less difficulty. Finally, there were many times more Jews scattered throughout the Roman Empire than there was in Israel proper, giving evangelist synagogues and Jewish communities from which to preach the good news throughout the known world. It was in this global climate that God sent his word. That was his message. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Emmanuel is Jesus. Come, let us adore him. Kneel down before him. Worship and adore him. Emmanuel. Hallelujah. They shall Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Matthew 1:23. You shall call his name Jesus, but he will save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John 1:12-13. Through the word, all the families of the world were blessed. Revelation 5:9. In fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham, Genesis 12:3. Through the word, the throne of David was established forever. Revelation 22:16. Not merely in an earthly kingdom, but one that will reign forever. See Luke 1:31-33, and we're going to go right there real quick to Luke 1:33. Let's go there really quick here, family. And I know our time is getting short, but when God put some in my heart, I want to do it. God did too. I know I am. I got to go back and get it in context. So let's go to Luke 1:26. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent to God in the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom, there will be no end. Hallelujah. Let's keep it going. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? She's like, let me tell you something. I'm a virgin. I ain't out there in the world. Don't try to don't get it twisted, boo. I'm not that kind of girl. She's letting them know up front. And then said, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has all conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Can y'all say that with me, y'all? For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary didn't believe. She said, whatever God said, do, that's what I'm going to do. And this is what Dr. Stanley tells us. Friends, have you been waiting for a word from God? Have you been straining your ears because of the silence? Look to the word. Look to Jesus. Just as a time of silence was preparation for Christ coming, God is ready his message to you in a manner that you cannot imagine. God is with you. He will save you from your sins. If Jesus Christ is your Savior, you are a child of God, and what he is providing for you will not be accomplished through flesh, nor the will of man, but by the power of God. He always keeps his promises. Remember that God will move heaven and earth to show you his will. If he's silent now, it's because he wants you to realize that his next message is extremely important. So keep listening. You don't want to miss it. Hallelujah. Keep listening. You don't want to miss a word from God that's just for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. And as we get ready to wrap up, the word was God is our title this morning. And I have a prayer. All I am. And we may be about a minute over. So for those that have to leave, may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're asking one from each other, in Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And a word from Sister Carolyn before you get out of here. And it is this, good morning. Walking with God, you will encounter enemies, storms, and disappointments. Just keep walking because eventually the scenery is going to change. Have a terrific Tuesday. And before we go, for all the rest, all I am. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. Yahweh in you is the fullness. Can't begin to imagine the extent of your goodness toward me, though I try. You don't withhold any part of you from your people, so why would I hold back from you? With all I am and all I have, my heart, my soul, my strength, I offer you all the love I have to give. You love me first and still you love me to life. I am so grateful for the incredible way you pour out your grace on my life. I could never earn the love you so freely give. It's my turn to pour out my love on you. Today I choose to honor you with every part of me. Let my mind be filled with the fruit of your wisdom. My heart be filled with the joy that knowing you brings, and my body be filled with the strength that grace gives to do everything set before me, all for you. You can have every part of my life. I won't hold back from you. And a word that I leave you this morning as we are wrapped up, is there any part of you that you've been holding back from God? Remember, as you go through this day, the word is God. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. That's all I got. I thank you for listening in. Even when the enemy tried to come with a glitch, the word was God, and it came through loud and clear. So I thank God for all of you. Thank you for staying in, those that are listening live, and I pray for all that listen later, that God bless you through this day, and that your day was blessed because God was in it. Give all of you to him, because he has given all of him to us. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Gotta go. I love you all. Be blessed. Have a great day. It's a beautiful day where I am, and I am going to enjoy it. Be blessed, family. Have a great day. It's a wrap.